Good evening. Welcome to our evening service here in Abbots Cross. Hopefully everything is working okay for you and you're able to see us okay, hear us okay at the minute. Or I know many of you will be watching or listening on CDs or DVDs during the week as well. We're just asking that the Lord would really bless us as we gather here this morning. Sorry, this evening. You're wondering as well why I'm here. I'm possibly wondering that as well. And it's quite sad news, really, just at the moment. And so this afternoon, the pastor got a call that he needed to head down south. And so Esther's mother, the doctors are saying, is perhaps in the final hours of her life. And so thankfully, the pastor was able to head down. And so we would certainly ask you, and as we'll be praying in this evening service as well, to really just undertake for Esther, for the family at this time as well, that the Lord would just really draw near to them and just give them the grace that they need for this day and to undertake just as well. We do want to lift up them as a church family, and so just we still are going ahead here as planned with our time of 5 o'clock. Hopefully no one is going to log on at 6:30 and wonder where we are. As well, I want to give a welcome to Peter Mander as well, who has come along to lead worship this evening and also to minister to us in song. And so we do greatly appreciate that and trust that the Lord will really bless him for serving alongside us this evening. One or two brief announcements as well, and then we will open up in prayer. But as you heard this morning, the pastor did say that although from tomorrow the NI executive has said that churches can open up at a wider level, we did only get the specific guidance for that on Friday evening, and so we're working on that. We have seems the more we looked into it, the more factors there are to consider and the more things that would need to be put into place. And so the diaconate are certainly working on that, which means next Sunday we are on as in the same pattern as we are at the minute. So the service at 11:30 will be live streamed, and our service at 5 o'clock, which is the drive-in service at Nortel Car Park, we intend to go ahead then at 5 o'clock. If the weather is fine and enables the service, it'll be a drive-in. If the weather, similar to tonight, doesn't enable that, then it will just be a live stream service, the same as this, at 5 p.m. next Sunday. And so the speaker is myself at both services next Sunday as well. In the morning service, it being the first Sunday in the month, hard to believe that June will have passed already, but in the morning time, we will be breaking bread together, we'll be sharing communion, and so do please remember to prepare yourself for that. So within the service, next Sunday morning, we will break bread together. That's all the announcements I believe we have as well. But just to encourage you as well, we are excited as a church that we are heading in this direction of being able to open up. We do really need to say that, I guess throughout this journey, as we've looked forward to being able to gather together again in this building, we do have to say that it will not look like what it looked like when we finished here in March. And so we would just ask for patience for that, for prayer for that, that the Lord would really clearly lead and guide, just because perhaps we are allowed to open the doors based on some of the social distancing, really at the absolute most. We would only really fit even 25% of those who normally could fit in. And so there are big things to consider and big decisions to make and to put into place. So again, we just ask you for prayer for this incoming week for the diaconate as we would gather around those decisions and seek the Lord's leading in the midst of this time as well. So we do want to commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. We do want to pray for Esther and Trevor and the family circle. We want to pray for Mrs. Cherry at this time. We want to pray for some others as well who maybe you've heard this morning as well of our condolences as a church to Helen Phillips on the loss of her brother. And so we want to lift up Helen and Harry this evening. Amanda Brown is still in hospital as well with infection. And so we do want to lift her and Graham up. And we've heard there that that Gail McConnell is home from hospital. There'll be a lot of follow-up and some more investigation for her. But really, she needs the Lord's touch at the moment as well. So for these and many other things, let's commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let's really engage and encourage you, as always, that you engage with the Lord in prayer. Do not just observe and listen, but participate here, that we as a fellowship will lift up our hearts. And hey, at home, you can talk over me if you want to lift your voice audibly in prayer as well. Let's just spend this time committing ourselves to him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that not only are we as a fellowship praying to you now, but we thank you that many, many children of the King are praying to you now, Father, in our own nation, Father, in our own United Kingdom, Father, on this island, on every, Father, in every country of the world, we believe, Lord, that there are your people, that there are those, Father, who have once come from the kingdom of darkness, have once come from the slavery of sin, have once come, Father, from a life separated from you, an eternity separated from you, but yet through hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, of how he came, of how God the Son stepped down from the unimaginable perfection, how he allowed himself, Father, to become flesh, even as a baby. And Father, to live, to grow up, Father, to walk this earth, and then to preach the message of repentance, but then ultimately, Father, to lay his life down, taking the punishment of our sin, taking the judgment, Father, of our rebellion and rejection of you. We thank you, Father, that that great hope was fulfilled also in the resurrection, that Christ rose, that it was finished, that he was accepted back before you, that the job was done. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that this is not just a story. This is not just a feel-good notion, but Father, that this is the deepest reality. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this speaks into moments of life and death. We thank you, Father, that those who are in Christ, who have been made right before you, who have been justified, we thank you, Father, that there is no fear in death. Father, we know that you have numbered our days. And Lord, as we think particularly of Mrs. Cherry, as we think of Esther and Trevor, as we think of the family circle, Lord, as they would gather around with doctors, believing, Lord, this to be the end, we thank you that she is in your hands. She is in your hands. We thank you, Father, that all who are in your hands, none can pluck them from your hand. That in your hand, Lord, is the eternal safety, is the refuge. That Christ himself shepherds us through the valley of the shadow of death. Father, over the Jordan to the celestial city. And Heavenly Father, we just ask for grace to be abundant, Lord, in that family gathering in Cavan right now. Lord, may the pastor and Esther as well, Lord, may they just know the prayers of your people, lifting them up in love and concern. Father, we thank you that Christ has overcome. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, you indeed sit with us even in those painful moments. And Lord, in moments of fear and in moments of poor health, as we think too, Lord, of Amanda, as we think of Graham, as we think of Abigail in the family circle too, Lord, we just commit them into your care and ask, Lord, that you would just draw near and encourage, Lord, and give peace and give a healing touch. We pray the same for Gail and for Paul, Father, that just in times of recovery, and Father, just as there would be more investigation, indeed now for Gail as well, we just pray, Lord, for patience, and we pray, Lord, for answers and leading for the medical team. Lord, be unto them at this time of real need in their hearts. And Father, you know the needs of our hearts, and you know the family situations, and Lord, you know those perhaps who are fearful this week of losing their employment, or Lord, of many, many things that could just grip our attention could grip our hearts. We ask, Lord, that we would find refuge in you, that we would continue to stand on the rock of Christ Jesus. And Father, as we've also, Lord, heard of Harry and Helen Phillips' loss as well, Father, we do lift up the family circle before you, asking them, Lord, that they would just be aware of your comfort and of your love and of your concern, Lord, thinking even of Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. We thank you for your compassion upon us. And Lord, for our gathering here as well, Lord, we thank you that we can gather around your word. We thank you that we can gather around your throne and we can lift our voices in praise and worship to you, Father. We can lay our burdens down. We can come as we are before the Holy One. Father, we pray, Lord, that even tonight, Lord, that perhaps those who haven't yet taken that step, haven't yet stepped out in faith, trusting in Jesus for salvation, we pray on, Lord, would you speak to them tonight. Father, thank you, you do speak, and we ask, Lord, help ears to hear and help eyes to see. Help hearts to be receptive to the transforming and glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whom we seek to worship tonight. Lord, help us to worship in spirit and in truth. Help us to worship with joy. Help us, Father, Lord, as we engage with you in obedience to your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I've said, it's great to have Peter Mander here this evening to lead us in worship as well as ministering in song. And so he's going to do both of those things, Lord. And at this point in the service, he will lead us for the first three. And then we just trust as well that the pieces that he sings after that will be a blessing to your heart. Thank you very much, Peter.
With you, and we're going to start by singing this lovely worship song, King of Kings, Majesty.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of heaven, living in me. Gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty, I can but bow. I lay my worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who brought the nations, ransomed souls, brought the sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise. I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve, I live to serve. Your majesty, I live to serve your majesty.
I'm thankful because of the blessed assurance, because I trusted the Lord as my Savior at the age of 8 years old, I can say I've got the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste, glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long.
The world is looking around and thinking, how are we going to face tomorrow? Maybe, as Andrew prayed in the prayers, some people are thinking, how are they going to afford bills if they get laid off jobs? All I know is because God sent His Son, because He lives, we can face uncertain days because He lives.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because a newborn light lies fine, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory and I know.
Few weeks of and months now of lockdown, I've been reflecting on my own lives. And I think as Christians, we don't give God enough praise, we don't give God enough thanks. And we have so much to be thankful for as Christians and believers. And this song just basically says, "Thank you, Lord, for blessing on me." While the world looks upon me, I struggle along. They say I've got nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Lord, for your blessing on me. I know I am not wealthy, these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I've got you. And that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing on me. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, this final song is just taken from Scriptures, Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Thank you. Glory surrounds us, blessings await us as we come before his throne. Power abundant, ours for the asking, joy from his eternal sweet. Give all your burdens unto the Savior. Hear him say, peace be still. Victory in battle, comfort in trial, with his Spirit be filled. Into his presence with singing, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. The Lamb is worthy to be praised. To his gates with thanksgiving. Hear, hosannas ring. Into his presence we sing. Pray to our soon coming King. Into his presence we sing. Praise to our soon coming King. Praise to our soon coming King.
Thank you so much to Peter. We trust that was a blessing to you, just as we were able to sing along for those, and also for the ministry and song as well. We want to thank you for that. I'd like at this point in time to have a moment of specific prayer. Since this time last Sunday evening, there's been something happening just in our own local community that has gripped many of our hearts, which is, of course, it was the disappearance of Noah Donoghue. And so just with, although the confirmation, as far as I've seen, hasn't fully come through that the body found yesterday was Wee Noah, it is expected to be so. And just as it is something that has gripped our hearts, perhaps we can spend a moment now as well just lifting up family and friends in our local community before the Lord as well, that perhaps even through this that some might seek God in the midst of this too. So let's commit that to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, our hearts, Lord, were broken with the news yesterday, Lord, of the discovery of a body in the area, Lord, that the searches were happening. And Father, as answers aren't forthcoming, answers don't also take away the pain of loss too. And Father, we just lift up the family, the friends, Father, the local community in the face, Lord, of such sadness this week. And Lord, we ask that you'd undertake for them in the days that lie ahead. We ask, Father, that in the midst, even Lord, of this, that, Lord, that you would work. And that, Lord, just by your grace, you would draw near to each involved. And that, Lord, in our community, we would see, Lord, we live in a world that things happen just that are so tragic and difficult to understand. And yet, Father, we remind ourselves this is not the world as you designed it to be, Father. This is the world that our sin has broken. And so, Father, we just do lift up our local community. We lift up those who are feeling the pain and sadness, and especially his family, and just commend and commit them to you. And Father, Lord, just as we would open up your word now too, we ask, Lord, for your help. I ask for your help, Father. Thank you that the Holy Spirit, Lord, he enables us. He enlightens us. He takes the truth of you, of your word, and he so graciously helps that to take root in our heart and to grow. So, Father, help us in our understanding. Help us in our application, Father, as we would gather around your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of, I don't know, this might be the shortest message from me you'll ever hear. Yep, I'm pretty sure somebody's smiling at that thought. Or you're shaking your head going, yeah, right, you've said that before. But the title for this evening's message is A Psalm for Giving Thanks. And it's quite a simple one. It'll be based on Psalm 100, and it was great as well just that Peter was able to minister to us in song based on a verse from Psalm 100. This has been a really unusual week for me, obviously, notwithstanding today. I'm not exactly sure how to put this into words. I know sometimes they say an image is as good as a thousand words, so let me just see if I can maybe give you something that will help put it into words. Is this old? Yep. You'll find my big brother's initials on the top. You'll find my initials underneath. No, I do not fit into this anymore. Even more so, you're definitely not going to see me try to fit into the shorts version of it, but this week has been a really, really unusual week for many, many supporters and followers of Liverpool Football Club. Can I say at this point as well, I really distinctly remember the 23rd of December 2018, what happened on that day. I was standing there, and it was the family service before Christmas, and in doing the epilogue and doing the message for including children that day, we were looking at promises, and I made a promise that morning, and I said, Liverpool will win the Champions League and the Premier League. Okay, the message that day was not me showing that I could make predictions. The message that day was saying that we shouldn't make promises that we can't actually control the outcome of ourselves. However, I know some of you more scholarly folk who especially love getting into the Old Testament, you know that the mark of a prophet is that if they say they are from God and they prophesy that something will happen, if it does not happen, then Scripture would say that they have claimed to be from God but are false prophets and they should be stoned. So anyone who did have a stone in your hand, you can put that down because, of course, on Thursday evening, after Man City failed to defeat Chelsea, Liverpool, after a long wait of 30 years, yep, there we go, at least somebody else in the building here is supporting me in that, celebrated being crowned the Premier League champions for this season. And I know many of you are in despair right now, not just because you're Man United fans, but maybe you just hate football. Although Man United fans, well, sorry. But in this, there was great excitement. In this, there was great joy. In this, there were and they shouldn't have, but thousands of people gathered, and they wept, and they sung, and they celebrated, and there was just this joyous thanksgiving. Can we call it that? Let's call it that. A joyous thanksgiving, this celebration. And as grown men cried, and again, that I always think of that quite funny because, you know, there are men who show no emotion in any other aspect of life. None at all. You know, something tragic happens and they get through that without tears. But hey, on Thursday night, they were burning their lamps out. And so there's this aspect where we, as humanity, we do respond in ways that are full of emotion and full of praise. And when it's something that just is our heart's desire, the celebration is unlike many others. And so, in light of that, and as I naturally, as a Liverpool supporter, was thrilled, I also was thinking about it, like not to downplay within a sporting realm the achievement of an amazing season and a long wait and just, you know, what has happened. But ultimately, 11 men were better at kicking a little ball around than the other 11 men. And over the course of the last number of months, you know, that team was better than the other teams. And so by quite a mile at that. But ultimately speaking, yes, within the sporting world, what an achievement. And worthy of credit. Yeah, absolutely. And worthy of praise. Yeah, absolutely. But I think if anything, in the three-month spell, especially whenever sport and professional sport was shut down, I think that many found that what was a huge part of their life, what they devoted themselves to, what, let's call it as what it is, what was really an idol, what was really a god to them, because if their team won, you know, it was going to be a good week, but if their team lost, you had to stay well clear of them for at least 3 days after that. I think what many have found in those 3 months is that life is much more real than events like that. Life is based on something much more tangible and on much more lasting than what perhaps we have previously devoted ourselves to, on what we have previously centralized or prioritized as being the be-all and end-all, is really being the life and death. And actually, Jurgen Klopp had said it himself whenever football shut down and said, so what? People are dying. This is football in this moment is not what is important. And there's truth in that, even in the midst of this week when they celebrate a win, because perhaps that real perspective that was glimpsed at a time when everything else was stripped away, what is worthy of praise? What is worthy of devoting our life to? What is the pinnacle of this world all about? And whereas in the city of Liverpool and in many other streets and homes around the country there is celebration this week, hey, in 12 months' time, it could well be in another city. And if it is in Liverpool, we at least know it's not going to be Everton, so it'll be Liverpool retaining the title. But things just move. They don't last. The things that perhaps people set their goals on, when they get them, they find that those things cannot take the weight of all of their hopes and expectations, all of the glory, all of the worship. Things cannot take that weight. And so if you're listening to me now, be it live or downloaded later on or on a disc during the week, it's because the vast majority of you recognize that fact. You recognize the fact that this life, meaning in this life, can only and is only found in Christ Jesus. You find that your hopes and dreams cannot support the weight of all of your being devoted to it. That they topple or they crumble under you. maybe someone watching tonight, maybe you haven't yet found salvation in Christ Jesus for yourself yet. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad that you acknowledge that in God's Word, being the very Word of God, being the Word of our Creator, that we do find truth here, and absolute truth, unchanging truth. We will, tonight, as we look at this psalm, we will find that true celebration, true glory, true thanksgiving, true praise, He alone, God alone, is worthy of it. And it's the praise of Him is the only one that will last. Everything else will fade, will just disappear into the background, into the echelons of time. But the Eternal One stands forever. And so, with the longest introduction probably of all time, if you would open, if you've scripture in front of you, to Psalm 100. And so it is a short psalm, which in my Bible version, it gives it this title, A Psalm for Giving Thanks. And so, reading God's Word, Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Amen. Short and yet a very, very sweet psalm. And so for our time spent just pulling some of the truth from this psalm, there's some truths just that someone who had studied this and had used this shared these thoughts with me. And I believe what Scripture says, that each verse and each word indeed has the power to reveal the character of God and to reveal something, someone that is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. And so getting into just some of the encouragements, getting into some of the truths of this psalm as we seek to understand it, as we seek to bring our hearts before God's Word this evening, to let our hearts be transformed by His Word, we want to ask the first question of this, which is what we do when we come to the Bible text to properly understand it. Who is this for? Who is this for? And so we find it very clearly in the text. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 5 as well talks about all generations, and so this includes you tonight. Psalm 100 is for you tonight. It is a message for each one of us. And so in the psalm, this call, this invitation is to know, to draw near to approach even, to serve, and ultimately to worship the Lord who is the King of Kings, who has never had a beginning, who will never have an end, who is the Ancient of Days, who is the unimaginable, glorious being that we just ever so slightly can know something of who He is, but for all eternity, we will continue to learn and to appreciate and to worship. And so with this audience set of the whole earth, all of the earth is encouraged to worship Him, this week, Claire and I, we were watching the new version of The Lion King. Some remakes just never really match up, but I always enjoy the bit at the start, you know, whenever Simba is born and then he's being lifted up on top of the rock, and all of the animals are around, and they're all baying, they're all kind of celebrating, they're all there to pay tribute. There's a moment of celebration. There's a moment of acknowledging that he will be the king. And just, Claire and I had the conversation last night, you know, just thinking that vibe is indeed found in Scripture, where nature itself groans and cries out for redemption. And there's this picture language in much of Scripture about how even the rocks would cry out in praise and in worship. And so this aspect of all of the earth, it's this picture that, well, God has created this world that we would praise him, that we would be for his glory, that indeed is a huge imprint of what our purpose and what our DNA is. And so, admittedly, in The Lion King, there was excitement in this unveiling of the king to be. Certainly, if you were in Liverpool Town Centre on Thursday night, I would say there was excitement. As a naturally unexcitable person, I got a little bit more excited than I usually am when it happened. But what language is used here? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's something that is really characterized with an excitement. And so, with this hoping to be an encouraging message this evening, there's going to be a range of questions, and I'm not trying to get at you, and I'm applying them to my own heart, but I want us to really search our own hearts in light of what we have read in this psalm. Because, truthfully, I think too many times we don't look at our own heart first. Too many times we're busy looking around us. Oftentimes, perhaps, maybe we're looking around it for criticism or for what other people are doing or not doing. And just impressed upon my heart from the Lord is this challenge to look at our heart, to look at my heart. When was the last time you looked at yours? When was the last time, in a sense, you examined the spiritual health of your own heart and your own spirit, of your own walk with God? And so let's take some joy out of this message tonight. And what I mean by that is, let's let our emotions be affected by this. Hey, if grown men can gurn because of a trophy that will be presented at some point, surely if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, surely if you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, surely if you have a hope that is outside of this world, that is untouchable, surely if you have a future that is certain and secure because of Christ Jesus, if your destiny is to be with him in infinite joy, I think we can probably start showing that now in this life, to let our emotions be impacted. And so a few brief things to pick out just from this psalm that will hopefully speak into that. The psalm, the structure of it is seven commands followed by three reasons for praise. And so a lot of times if you do look into the New Testament, you'll oftentimes find a reason, a truth about God, and then our response. This is structured differently, where it gives us seven commands to obey. Do this. And then at the end, it gives us truth. It gives us those reasons why we should obey those commands. And so seven commands to begin with that are really simply just laid out in the text themselves as we work our way through it. Verse 1, make a joyful noise to the Lord. The original language of that, scholars say, is very much just shout to the Lord. Shout to Jehovah. So Lord, if we're looking at it in our Bibles and Lord is all uppercase, that is the Jehovah name of God, or Yahweh, depending on how you interpreting that, but it's this covenant name of God. It's a personal name of God, which we'll look at in a wee moment. But make a joyful noise to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. The word shout to the Lord, it's used elsewhere in the Old Testament, and it's used at the city of Jericho. And it's used whenever the army of Israel, the people of Israel, are told, you will defeat that, but here's how. And of course, it was in marching around the city, and it was in shouting out the battle cry. Shouting is that same word. So that same command to the children of Israel to shout the victory is indeed the same word, shout to the Lord. And so I dare say it is not a quiet whisper. It's not an unenthusiastic, just meh. There's enthusiasm, there is excitement, there's noise even coming in this. Shout to the Lord. And so, giving thanks to him. Shout to the Lord. Joyful. Aspects of this that truthfully probably convict my heart as well as to what is characterized in my worship of God. Am I characterized as being joyful? Am I characterized by being loud in my worship as well? A quote here from Charles Swindoll, it's from his book, Living Beyond the Daily Grind. And the quote says this, "These are shouts or verbal expressions of thanksgiving. God says to all the earth, shout words of joyful approval to me. Haven't you come to realize this? At certain times, God does things about which we cannot keep quiet. He takes care of little details or some problem, and we suddenly sense that he has come to our assistance. Don't accept this silently. Shout to him. Lift up your voice in praise." Don't accept this silently. Yeah, how many times, perhaps, are we conscious of the Lord answering prayer in a particular way? And the Lord's desire is that we make much of our response to him, that we respond with joy to him, that we shout to the Lord, for he is worthy of that praise. Verse 2 is the next command, serve the Lord with gladness. And so it's gladness is not something that you can kind of fake. There's a genuineness to being glad. Being genuinely thankful for what he has done for us. Being genuinely thankful for who he is. It's easy sometimes as we focus here on serve the Lord with gladness, the focus is on that in our service of the Lord, there is to be gladness. Maybe at times that's a really difficult thing. And so you might be saying, well, how do I serve the Lord? Well, in Colossians, we are called to, well, whatever you do, do it as if unto him. Do it with thanksgiving as if unto him. And so our service to him is absolutely not just what we do in the realm of church gatherings. It's not, well, I help out in this organization. Our service to the Lord that we are called to do with gladness is indeed all of life. Even as Jesus says to those who you gave a cup of water to in my name, that's service. Let's do this life in a way that is intentionally thankful and glad because it's him who we are serving. That ultimately, we're not doing it for others. We're not doing it because that's what we're supposed to do. We're doing it with a glad heart because it's for the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. That is seen by others, by the way. Gladness is something that is evident. It can be seen by others. I wonder if you can see that in me. Our third command come into his presence with singing. This singing here is a joyful singing. This is not a funeral dirge. This is, again, this is something of celebration. Come into his presence with singing. There's this expectation as well in Scripture that in the presence of the Lord, there is joy. And so come into his presence. We're thankful that through Christ Jesus, we can come into his presence. He has opened the way. He is the door. He is the gate. He is the bridge by which we have come from being a sinful people to being a people who are cleansed, forgiven, purified, sanctified. For what purpose? So that we can come into his presence. So in our coming into his presence, let's do so with singing. I love that. And as I've said many times, I will love the fact that in heaven, I will hopefully have a different singing voice than what I've been blessed with in this life. But it's not just, hey, if you enjoy singing, come into his presence. Singing. All of us are commanded for this. Come into his presence with singing. Is our worship of him joyful? Even as Peter led us in worship earlier, if in the house, were you going through the motions of it? Were you just singing because, hey, that's what we do within part of our service? This challenge that specifically as well in our singing praise, that we would find joy in it. Is our worship joyful? If not, maybe we need to remember who we're singing to. Or challenge ourselves, why are we singing? Come into his presence with singing. The fourth command, know that the Lord, he is God, in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. And I do, I love that God reveals himself even through the variety of his names. And so if you're start reading in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. And God here is the word Elohim in Genesis 1:1. It's the same word that's in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is Elohim. And, you know, my Hebrew pronunciation, I'm not even going to try that. Elohim, that we then just use in English as God, is a word that is a name that is utterly characterized by strength. You could translate that as saying he is the strong one. And so there's this aspect of God's character. Know that the Lord, he is strong. Know that the Lord, as we've mentioned at the start, you can see it in your Bible, it's all in uppercase. And so if it was just a capital L and then the rest were lowercase Lord, that would be Adonai, that would be a different word. That's a master word, and it's still a name of God. But whenever it's all in uppercase, it's this name of God that is very first revealed when Adam and Eve are created. And so Elohim created the world. Elohim created, he said, let there be, and there was. But when we come to Adam and Eve being formed, well, when Adam is formed from the dust, and whenever God breathes life into him, the name that Scripture uses for that is, some say, Jehovah. It's this Lord, an uppercase. It is this personal name of God, in a sense, because it's a name that is used in relation to people. And that's why it's personal. It's used in this connection from the Almighty, from the one who needs nothing to exist, from the one who just is. It's connected to us. Know that Jehovah, know that the Lord, he is God. If that's all I preached on tonight, that alone would be enough to challenge our hearts to worship him. That the strong one desires relationship with a created being. that the King of Heaven is interested in you, in me, in every generation. Know that the Lord, He is God. He made us, and we are His. These are important to connect to this phrase. He made us. Where did I come from? Ultimately, God. Ultimately, our world did not come from any other beginning other than God created us. God spoke, God was active, God made. Out of nothing, the universe came at the power of God's word, at His command. He made us. You could have a whole other series as well on the intricacies of the human body alone as to how amazing our bodies are. And yet, all we want to say tonight is, He made us, and we are His. Goes on to say, we are the sheep of His pasture. Sheep are not the most intelligent of animals. They are not the most graceful of animals. Getting some walks in the evening times over the last number of months in a field near us where there were wee lambs and stuff. They are not smart creatures. They are certainly not graceful. They are clumsy. They fall over and can't really get up again. It's kind of nice just to be reminded too, isn't it, that we are His sheep. So why is that nice? Because it means there's a shepherd. Because it means that there is a caregiver. In Scripture, with this wonderful picture of God being our shepherd, of leading us, of guarding us, protecting us, seeking after us. We are His sheep. And we need to submit to that, not to try to lead ourselves, do our own thing, to follow His leading. Moving on, the fifth command, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And so that thanksgiving is obviously a really common theme going on here. It's a response word. It's a word that is very much used in many, many of the Psalms and used repeatedly in the Psalms as well. Being thankful. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. It repeats it again in verse 4. Give thanks to Him. And so as always in Scripture, if it's something is said once, it's really important. If something is repeated, take extra special attention to that as well. Give thanks to Him. It's sometimes really easy to just brush past that. I really like pizza. I really like Domino's as well, and we don't get it very often, maybe once or twice a year. And so for the first time in ages, we decided to get a takeaway last night, and I managed to convince Clara that Domino's was what we needed to get last night. And so I went and collected it, and I got it home, and I had Claire under strict instructions as well. You know, make sure the Coke has ice in it. So as soon as I come in with a hot pizza, you know, we can get stuck right into it. And so we sat down, and of course then I was going to give thanks for the food. And my prayer consisted of exactly this: Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. And usually my prayers would be a little bit longer than that. I was a little bit excited to get into it. And the challenge sometimes is that we maybe do just, was I thankful? I was actually thankful. I was very thankful. It was brilliant. The challenge sometimes, though, just is that it's this really glancing blow of thankfulness. But at the same time, we're called to keep being thankful. So even if it's one word, maybe you don't give thanks even, say, before a meal. Why not start that? Why not start acknowledging? Why not start looking in your everyday life, whenever your head hits the pillow at night, right? What are five things I can give thanks to God for today? And maybe, as it often surprises us as we count our blessings, we do find that they number more than we even first imagined. Give thanks to Him. The last one, the last command, bless His name. Bless His name. You'll find that in verse 4. The literal translation of the original of that basically just says, kneel, as in kneel down. Bless his name. Perhaps it's not so much a phrase that we would say as, bless, we bless you, Lord. There's something more going on in the word for this kneel. It's the idea of bowing before him. It's wrapped up in this idea of worship and in giving him honor and of humbling ourselves before him. Why? I know many would look at the Bible and say, how egotistical is God? He just demands everyone praises him all the time and worships him. And we often would say, well, yeah, if any human did that, it would be ridiculous. But when the Creator, who made us, who is our shepherd, when he says that, it's not big-headed, it's not unreasonable. In fact, it's actually right. In fact, it's what's good. In fact, it's what's even best for us, too. And so, three reasons, if we need them, are given just at the end of this psalm. For his goodness, for his love, and for his faithfulness. And so, God is good, for the Lord is good. Let's not forget that. Truthfully enough, at times in my life, I've doubted that. At times, I've looked at circumstances and situations and the timing of things, and question marks pop into my head. Let's not be afraid of questions, by the way. Let's not be afraid to wrestle and grapple with things in our life and things in our situations, things in our world, and really take them to God and really talk them out with each other as well, because perhaps there are many who have walked away from faith questioning, is God good? And we need to challenge our questions with the truth and with the light of God's word. He is not a God who teases us. He is not a God who taunts. He is not a God who kind of blows hot and cold in how he treats us. For the Lord is good. His ways are perfect. He always does what's best for us. He is good. And we say it glibly, he is good all the time, but it's true. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. It's not just for a season. It's not just sometimes strong, sometimes cold. His steadfast love endures forever. Praise the Lord for that. His faithfulness to all generations. He wasn't just faithful three generations ago. He is just as faithful today. He wasn't just, you know, a high level of faithfulness to Abraham, and it's different now. No, his faithfulness remains for all generations. If you want to put your trust in Christ tonight, you will find that he is faithful to his promise to save you. He is faithful to his promise to make you something new. If you are a believer and you're struggling, his goodness, put all of your weight on his promises. Put your weight, put your trust, stake your life on him. You will find that his steadfast love endures forever. You will find that he is good, and you will find that he is faithful. Finishing off just this message then of tonight. So many things in life would demand that we worship it. So many things would say, devote your life to this. So many things would say, this is worthy of you following them. They're all liars. Whenever Jesus came and he said, follow me. Whenever Jesus came and said, take up your cross. Give up everything. Follow me. We find actually that we have given up the temporary, and we're given the eternal. If you're a believer that needs encouragement in that tonight, this is a psalm for thanksgiving. If you've just been drifting kind of joylessly, going through motions, this is a psalm to search our hearts with, to say, well, we need to deal with the Lord then. And again, if you're someone who is searching but would not yet say that you've put your faith in Christ Jesus, if you haven't yet asked God for forgiveness for your sin, to be at peace with him, to save you, come. You will find that he indeed is faithful and loving. You will find that he indeed is able and strong enough to save you. In fact, he is the only one. And can we encourage you, while God is speaking to you, respond. We will finish our service with the hymn, Here I Am to Worship. I'd like just to close in prayer, and then we'll play the video out in the service. We'll finish at that point. But can I just remind you again, communion next Sunday morning. The live stream will be at 5 p.m., and so either the live stream will be from the car park or from here, and as well, we'll hopefully have an announcement more for you next week as to the church's plan for reopening as well. But let's commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can worship you. We thank you, Father, for those who are redeemed, that we can enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, Father, that it speaks into even our emotion and our joy. Thank you that we, who are God's people, have something to celebrate. We have someone to lift up and to make much of. We have someone who has done something that will stand for eternity on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that in worshiping you, we find joy. We find purpose. We find a taste, Lord, of what eternity with you will be like also. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, would you speak into each of our lives, Lord, into the unique circumstances or into the unique areas that you want to challenge us on. But, Lord, that we would be a people characterized by making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Minister on, we pray, as we would sing this hymn. And Father, for the people and the circumstances and the families that we've already prayed for, Father, would you continue just to undertake for them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining this evening. We do look forward to seeing you next week as well. But if you're in the house, please do stand as we would sing together this closing hymn, Here I Am to Worship. Thanks, Johnny.